already spoken to. I appreciate Brother Darwin remembering that diagram. I'd forgotten all about that. Let's turn over to the book of Hebrews. I don't have any diagrams today, so maybe the words will stick with us also. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6. And the title of my remarks is The Impact of God Manifestation on the Life of the Believer. On the faith of the believer, excuse me. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And this whole chapter, I think, is a good follow-up to our Sunday school class. It's where we spoke about the necessity of having faith to come into the everlasting eternal covenant. And we know this chapter speaks of many individuals who we should desire to follow and emulate their faith that they had in their life. But I think this is a chapter that many of us turn to in time of trial and trouble. It's a chapter that should strengthen us, because there are individuals mentioned in this scripture, in this chapter, that went through the same trials and tribulations that we do, but had the strength and courage to overcome and were accounted to be faithful in God's eyes. It's one, I think, that sets the stage for the entire Word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that's what the Scriptures teach us, is it not? Is our life should be lived in a manner where we bring God glory and honor and please Him at all times. It talks about ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And if you think of a life of faith, that is extraordinary to a mortal creature of God. Because it doesn't come natural for us to do the things of Yahweh. It comes natural for us to do the things of the flesh. So today we want to talk about how one's faith can be increased when we see and understand this doctrine of God manifestation in our lives. Verse 1 gives us the common definition, the common understood definition of this characteristic of faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But there's many other verses in this chapter that speak of the faith of the many worthies of old ages. However, verse 6 is the one I want us to focus on and concentrate on specifically today. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I think that's a very important verse that we need to remember. Every phrase of that verse has meaning to us as sons and daughters of Yahweh, and those that are learning God's truth and studying to come into God's eternal covenant. This verse spans the history and the chronicle of the ages. It speaks about every individual in that chapter. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It speaks of the one absolute quality that God requires from His children, and that is faith. Let's go to Matthew 22. Some may say that these verses is basically the foundation of the son and daughter of God. Matthew 22, verse 36. It says, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, is faith the most important principle, characteristic that we have, or is it love? Do these commandments that we read in Matthew 22 violate the principle that faith is the absolute quality required for mankind? I don't think so, because how can we love unless we first have faith? And I think that's an important principle. We must first have faith, and then a divine love, or a love for the divine promises and for each other, stems from our faith, does it not? We have faith because what? God first loved us. He gave us the promises. He gave us a means of redemption from this vile body that we live in. That's why we have faith. As we talked about this morning, we have things that have cemented that faith that we've seen in the world today. The witness of Israel is the absolute situation that should cement the faith of every believer from that time forward. We have faith because we love the one who is true, merciful, kind, gracious, rewarding, long-suffering, forgiving, and willing to love us even when we fail him. That's why we have faith, brethren. Verse 6 tells us that we must believe that God is. I think that's a pretty important phrase, and that there's a difference in my mind, and maybe y'all will see this too. And I'm back in Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, we must believe that God is. There's a difference between believing that there is a God and God is. And that is the doctrine of God manifestation. Many people in this world believe that there is a God residing in heaven. But those that have true faith in God understands the concept of God manifestation. What is God's memorial name? Yahweh. And what does that mean? That's a question. What does that mean? Thank you, Tommy. He who will be manifested in he who will be. That is our faith that we have. That we're part of that multitudinous throng who will ultimately receive the divine nature and immortality in the kingdom of God. So when the scriptures tells us we must believe God is, that's the doctrine of God manifestation. What is God? Not the fact that there is a God. Many people believe that. Many false religions believe that. They believe in Allah and Buddha. But believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What does he reward us, brethren? We talked about it this morning in Galatians. Heirs of the promises made to the fathers. God's name, and I think that's one of the things that we need to comprehend and understand when we speak of God manifestation, is the name of God. The many manifestations of the name of God. His name is described as what? A strong tower whereby we may run and receive protection, a heritage, a source of confidence, and a means of elevation above the earthly rudiments of this world in which we live in. We cannot ever despise his name, but we're commanded to exalt it, to praise it, to remember it, to fear it, to love it, to defend what the name stands for at all cost. And we must be ready to give an answer of faith to those who question the name and the truth involved in the name of Yahweh. Hebrews 11:6 tells us of this necessity of doing this, of believing the concept of God manifestation as it relates to the past, the present, and the future. An individual that comes to God must believe that he is the creator first of all things, natural and spiritual. There's nothing that we can do and provide for ourselves. God has given us all things in this life, both this natural life, our physical lives, our spiritual lives, our family lives. God has given that to us. He is the creator of all things. Let's turn over to Job 38. Seekers of God, and remember that's what the verse says, those that diligently seek him will be rewarded. In Job 38, we have a very good reading of the natural creation of Yahweh. And if we just look, to me it's just amazing the natural gifts that Yahweh has allowed us to enjoy. I mean, just look outside. We enjoy the seasons, we enjoy the trees, the flowers, the light, the life of all that's around us. Just the camaraderie between brethren and family members. God has allowed us to enjoy that. He's created things for His mankind for one purpose. Is one, to be in fellowship with Him and His Son and with those of like-mindedness. In Job 38, I'm going to spend a few minutes reading from this chapter, because when we think about the natural creation of God, that's the first, in my mind, the first principle of God manifestation that we learn about. Because what is the first thing taught us in the Scriptures? Is the creation of this world that we live in. God manifested in His creation. Let's start at verse 4. And again, these are the words of Yahweh the words of Yahweh that was given to Job, speaking about His creation. Where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who have laid the measures thereof if thou knowest? Or who have stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shall thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, that it may take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment, and from the wicked their light is withholden. And the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, and hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare, if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth, and it's for darkness? Where is the place thereof, that thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof? Knowest thou it, because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, even against the day of battle and war? If you don't have a reference on that verse 22 and 23 to Ezekiel 38, I think you might want to do that. To me, that's a very good reference when Ezekiel speaks in the latter day of the hail that will be used to destroy the Gogian invader. To me, that's a very good verse to reference back to, where God says, Have I reserved against the time of trouble? And what will that day be? A day of trouble like the earth has never seen, against the day of battle and war. To me, it's a good reference from Ezekiel back to an earlier writing, that God has stored up the elements of this world in order to go against the and use his judgments against the Gogian invader. Verse 24, But what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east and wind upon the earth? Who've divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain upon the earth where no man is, on the wilderness where there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father? Or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who have gendered it? The waters are hid as a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. And it goes on and speaks of many more of the characteristics of God's creation that I think sometimes we take for granted, do we not? We see these beauties of the world that we live in, knowing that it's just a small portion, if you will, of what Yahweh has promised to us in the kingdom age. So I think when we see and speak of the creation of Yahweh, we speak of God manifestation. God is, we must remember, He is the one, the creator of all things. And as Job was told in this chapter, Job wasn't there when God created all of these things. But the intent is that God should have faith that it was Yahweh that did this. That Job should have faith that it was Yahweh that did this. We believe in the creation through the eye of faith. We believe that the worthies of old walked this earth through the eye of faith. We can't visualize what Abraham looked like. We can't visualize even what Christ looked like, even though there's multiple pictures of Christ in this world today. We can't visualize that. But we can, through the eye of faith, visualize their walk. Can we not, brethren? We're told how they lived their lives. We're told in Hebrews 11 that they were faithful and will be given the rewards that God has promised unto them. We only marvel at the wonders of the world around us. But we do know that the goodness and the severity of the environment in which we live, in which we dwell, should only want us to love God more and more, to want to be more and more faithful, brethren, to be more and more a part, if God wills, of that age to come. For we see the handiwork of God in everything in our lives, whether we choose to accept that or not. Let's go back to Hebrews. And keep your place back at that 11th chapter. Hebrews 11:6 speaks about other methods of God manifestation. We should realize, and this verse teaches us, that God is manifested to us in this life in many and various ways. He is a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. In my mind, that's not just talking about the eternal rewards, even though that's the ultimate reward that we have. Each of us is blessed in many ways, and we should never forget that. No matter how depressed we are, no matter how many trials that we go through, we are blessed in many ways. To have the truth of Yahweh is a tremendous blessing in our lives, brethren. Just think where we would be if we didn't have it. We'd be like the many millions of this world, living in fear of what's coming on the world, living in fear of what the rulers and the political engines of the world are bringing to this world. And we know that's God's will that it's like that, but where would we be without the truth? Where would we be without brethren of like-minded truth? Where would we be without families that we can depend on, natural and spiritual? We're blessed in many ways. God is a rewarder, I fully believe, of them that diligently seek Him. There's an if factor, though, is there not, in that verse? And, you know, there's many verses that speak of this if factor. If we diligently seek Him, that's something that we should never forget. James tells us that if we draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to us. Again, if factor. We have to diligently seek Him. One that seeks God will realize that God will continue to manifest Himself in His plan and purpose to the world in general, but to His believing children in particular, as the days quickly fly by as we await the return of our Master. Do we fully appreciate the wisdom of God that's manifested in our lives, brethren? I'm sad to say, I'm speaking for myself, that sometimes this characteristic of God's I take it for granted. There are times when I do not recognize the loving and guiding hands of our Heavenly Father. There are times that I tend to do just the opposite of the way that God may be leading me. It's difficult to understand some of the things that happen in our lives. But we should always remember the words of Romans 8, verse 28, that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If we truly believe that God is, not only do we increase our faith, but we also develop other godly characteristics that Yahweh requires of His children, that of love and trust and wisdom and patience. To me, all of these are byproducts of a very robust faith love, trust, wisdom, and patience. James tells us that faith without works is dead. So let's look at these characteristics of what we can do, what works that we can manifest in order to show our faith that we have in God's eternal promises. The first thing is love. There's been a lot said about this little four-letter word over the years. Some is saying that, you know, that we love everybody and that we should tolerate everything and that we should put up with everything. But brethren, that's not what God teaches us. Yes, we're to love everything, but we're to stand up for God's truth. We're to help our brethren into God's kingdom to the best that we can. And sometimes this takes reproof and rebuke, just as God chastens and disciplines us. It also takes that in the in our families, spiritual and natural. In Matthew 22, we read that the greatest commandment of all the scriptures was to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. But what are the elements of love? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. And when we think of this love for Yahweh and the love for our brethren, it's the love that one should have in order to help that individual into God's kingdom. That's the greatest gift of love that we could give a brother or a sister or a young person learning the truth, is to help them live their lives so that God will find them worthy. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. And to me, brethren, that's the love, that's the agape love that we have to help one another. I've heard it said, and it's been suggested, that as we read this chapter, every time we read the word charity or love, put your name there and see if you how you measure up. Put your name in verse, starting at verse 3 through verse 8. Put your name there, and how do we measure up? And sad to say, you know, I failed that many times. But I think as we read that, it brings it to a personal concept if we put our name there. Do we suffer long? Are we kind? Do we envy? Do we vaunteth ourselves? Do we seek our own? Are we easily provoked? Do we think evil of others? Do we rejoice, not in iniquity, but in the truth, at all times? Do we bear all things, believe all things? Do we hope all things, endure all things? Does our love for our brethren ever fail? That's the personal aspect that we need to bring when we read these verses like this. But what about trust? Is this something that we should develop as we build on our foundation of faith? If we don't have faith that someone will perform as they say they will, how can we trust them? If we do have faith in someone, then we have the absolute measure of trust in that individual. If we truly have faith in someone, then we will be willing to turn over all aspects of our life to that individual and be confident that that individual will always do what is in our best interest. How much more does this concept apply to our relationship with our Creator and Sustainer than it does with each other? Let's go to Proverbs, 3rd chapter. Favorite verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust is a characteristic that comes out of a robust faith. If we don't have faith in God's promises, how can we trust and place our trust that he will guide and direct us. What is he guiding and directing us to? Is the fulfillment of his promises. If we truly place all of our trust in Yahweh, we should be able to withstand many of the fiery darts of this wicked age that we live in. For we know that God's will is being performed and not our will. As we strive to understand God's will is performed through our lives and in our lives, we truly understand the concept of God manifestation. A truly humbling experience if we let it be. What about wisdom? It should not be difficult for us to see the connection of wisdom, faith, and God manifestation. Through the manifold wisdom of God, he's laid out the greatest architectural plan that could ever be developed. He set all things in order so that man can see the revelation of a merciful Father who does not desire to see any man or woman fail, but would have all come to a true knowledge of him and his plan. The little amount of wisdom that we, as frail mortal men, can manifest is a direct outcome of what God has manifested through and for his creation. We have wisdom because God has taught us through his word, through his example of these individuals in Hebrews 11. We have wisdom of what faith should be. We have wisdom of what God considers a faithful walk. We have wisdom about the rewards that Hebrews 11:6 tells us. We have wisdom about how we can seek him, as Hebrews 11:6 tells us. God has told us that the wisdom of this world is foolishness. So we shouldn't place great pride in how wise we are in this world that we live in. The true wisdom we know from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. God has taught us how to be wise through the manifestation of his Spirit. We have a choice to develop and manifest in our lives the true wisdom from above or the wisdom of foolishness that the world delights in. Do we not see the wisdom of God in the world around us? Just in the natural things are created, you know, and has been created in such a way that man can never understand how these things work in the natural world that we live in. Even though they strive daily to gather that knowledge, it will never happen. Whether it be the placement of the basest of the lowest of men in the governments of this world and the development of national policies and principles that govern us, we should understand that God has appointed a day in which the world will be judged in righteousness by that man that he has manifested, in whom was manifested in the flesh. This is where our faith in the promises of God should be manifested. We are wise only because we have faith in God's wisdom and his plan. What about patience, brethren? We're told to wait and quietly hope for our salvation in Lamentations 3, verse 26. How can we do this without the element of faith? How can we be patient when we see these things going around us in this world, unless we have faith that there is a day coming when the Lord will judge this world with his righteous judgments, and he will judge us also, brethren, with his righteous judgments? How can we have patience when we are tempted and tried, when we go through tribulations, if we don't have faith in what God has promised? Most people in this world have extreme fear over the things that are happening in this world we live in. But we of godly faith have no fear, nor should we have anxious thoughts about tomorrow. God will perform his marvelous promises, and even if we die before the return of our Master, we know that we only sleep, for we have been assured of a resurrection to the judgment seat of God's Son. Patience is a fruit of the manifestation of love, trust, and wisdom, and faith. A truly patient individual is one that loves God, trusts in him with all his might, prays for wisdom, and accepts his wisdom as it's manifested in our life when God answers our prayers. Patience is accepting God's will without question. Truly, brethren, we are blessed amongst all people, and we should daily count our blessings. Every minute we should count our blessings. We've been given precious promises that will last throughout eternity. We've been given a means of redemption for this vile body to put on immortality for life eternal. We have a loving Father that cares so much for His creation that He gave His only begotten Son. We have a Father that watches over us daily and provides us every little thing so that we can bring Him glory and honor and be found worthy in His kingdom. Let us never be blinded to the manifestations of God that exist in our life that we should be able to see if we truly seek Him in the right way. As Hebrews 11:6 says, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What about the age to come, brethren? We are recipients, Lord willing, we will be recipients, Lord willing, of those rewards in the future. Eternal life and immortality. You know, as you get older, you get out of bed every morning and say, man, I hope my knee holds up. Or you're popping and cracking all over. But, you know, if you think about immortality, think about there'll be no more joy, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death. Think about a life ruling and reigning with Christ, directing and teaching the mortals of this world to accept Yahweh and His plan and purpose. When we think about these rewards that we have, our faith has increased tremendously, brethren. In Hebrews 11:6, the lessons I think that we're to learn is that our life in Christ Jesus is like a circle. We have to have faith in God. We have to seek Him with all of our heart and love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And then He will abundantly reward us in this life and the age to come. And as we experience the rewards from God, our faith has increased. And we should want to seek Him even more. Here we see and understand the true circle of life. Have faith in God. Seek Him. Love Him. He will reward us. Our faith has increased so we can seek and love Him even more. God's manifestation is not just about the outworkings of His plan and purpose in the nations of the world, but it's also how He provides for us every day of our life. It's about His providential care and nurture of the body of Christ. It's about His answers to our prayers. And we need never to take God's manifestations in our life for granted. The way that we perceive and receive the blessings from God is critical to our future in this life and the life to come. Let us always maintain the strongest eye of faith that we can, and never let our sight be blinded by the ways and things of the world around us. We do have a choice, brethren and young people. We do have a choice. So let us use our choices wisely, patiently, and always placing our trust in our loving Father. And if we do this consistently and strongly, if we diligently seek Him as we're told to do, we will be part of that glorious multitude that will be blessed to hear these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Thank you.